When the Israelites made a golden calf, they were not turning their back on God to worship another god. The text makes it pretty clear. When Aaron finished the golden calf, he said, "Here is the God that led you out of Egypt." The following day, they had a feast dedicated to Yahweh. The problem was not that they were worshiping another god. The problem was that they had a wrong image of God. And because they had a wrong image of God, part of their worship and celebration of God turned into an orgy. Please bow with me. Almighty God, Lord and Savior, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we're blessed. Lord, we're surrounded by things in this world that can seem overwhelming. But in the midst of the darkness, you are our light. And you are a blessing. You give us strength. And we stand on you, our rock. Thank you, mighty God. And Lord, I pray that as we strive to understand who you are, that you would give us a better picture of Jesus. Thank you. I pray that you'll be with me at this time, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. And may you be praised, Almighty God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This morning we're going to be studying from John chapter 12, verses 44 through 50. John chapter 12, verses 44 through 50. I'm always just a little bit leery when somebody tells me that they have the Godhead all figured out. I understand the Trinity. Now, I think we can grow in our understanding. But will we ever really, truly understand fully God? I can't fully, truly understand my wife. And she can't understand me. So how are we going to understand God? But we grapple with. Verse 44, "And Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness.'" So Jesus cries out. The last we saw of Jesus, he went into hiding. But now he's crying out. That word always implies a loud voice, which is interesting because sometimes when we view Jesus speaking, we view Jesus speaking just in his normal conversational tone. He's speaking to a large crowd. He's crying out. And he says, "He who believes in me does not believe in me." And a lot of the newer translations throw in some words here. They say, "does not believe in me only, but also believes in God." And I think that misses what Jesus is doing. See, I think what he's saying is that he is the perfect image of God. So if you believe in him, you are not believing in him, you are believing in God, whom he is the perfect image of.
Amen. That's right.
I think he says the same thing. He says, look, if you see me, you see God. Jesus came to this world to give us an image of God. See, in the Old Testament, they had prophets to tell them the message of God, but they really didn't have an image of God. And so I believe they struggled under that.
Yes.
I think, the story of the golden calf was them trying to figure out, and in their defense, a calf was a symbol of strength. But it was very incomplete. And because they got the image wrong, they got God wrong. Jesus came to be the very essence of God wrapped in flesh.
True.
So that when we see Jesus doing things on this earth, we can say, oh, that's what God would do if he lived my life. I think that's how we're intended to read the story of Jesus. So when we see him reaching out to touch a leper, whom I don't don't think he had the touch. I think he could have said, whoa, back up, buddy, I'll heal you. Under the old law, touching a leper made you unclean. And yet God, wrapped in the flesh, because this man probably hadn't been touched in years. At least not by anybody that wasn't a leper. And Jesus reaches out and touches him to heal him.
Amen.
We need to see that that is God, the image of God.
That's right.
And here's what's interesting. I believe that N.T. Wright is correct in suggesting that from the very beginning we were intended to be image bearers. We are created in the image of God, and we are intended to bear the image of God, but we are very flawed image bearers. Amen?
That's right.
Amen.
No. I mean, I'm not even going to ask that question. Never mind. I was going to ask, anybody here think they're the perfect image of God bearer? I didn't want to embarrass anybody if they held up their hand. But anyway. See, until Jesus Christ came, we had nothing but flawed images of God.
That's right.
And so when Jesus came, he says, look, if you believe in me, it's not about believing in me. It's about believing in God. When you look at me and you observe me and you gaze upon me and watch my life, you're not just watching the life of a good man or a good teacher. You're watching the life of God.
That's right.
The image of God. And then the next verse almost sounds like he's changed directions a little bit. I don't think he has. He says, I am the light that has come into the world. He's an image bearer. God is light.
That's right.
And Jesus came as light into the world. And then notice what he says. He says that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness.
Yeah.
And isn't that good news?
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. I don't know about you, but I know that I still struggle with darkness.
Right.
But praise be to God that Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness.
Yeah.
And I don't have to stay there.
That's right.
I don't have to dwell in the darkness.
That's right.
Because Jesus is the light. And that's what it means to be the perfect image of God. Verse 47, if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. So if you hear these things, Jesus said, when I speak who I am the image of God. So when Jesus says something, he is speaking as God. So if you hear what Jesus says and you don't observe it, that's pretty significant, right?
That's right.
And by the way, it's not just about hearing the message. It never has been. It's about doing the message. It's about living the message. If you are not living Christ, you are not a Christian.
That's right.
It's about living Christ. He says, if you hear this message and you don't live it, I don't judge you. Well, why not? That's not my goal. See, I think what Jesus is doing is setting himself up as the difference between him and the Pharisees. The Pharisees believed that the mission of God was to separate out the righteous and the sinners and then condemn the sinners.
Yeah.
They had a wrong image of God, and so they had the wrong mission of God. Right?
That's right.
But that's what they believed. God is not... I mean, they took the words of Habakkuk, who says, God cannot look upon sinners, and they believe that God said that. That was Habakkuk saying, hey, look, we know. But here's a question for you, because in that passage in Habakkuk, God tells Habakkuk that he is rising up the Chaldeans to correct Israel. And Habakkuk is complaining and saying, how can you do that? You can't even look on sinners. So can God look upon sinners? He's using the Chaldeans. I think he can look upon sinners.
Yeah.
That is a human response. The Pharisees took that message and they said, well, if God can't even look upon, he doesn't want to have anything to do with sinners. So their view of God and the mission of God was, sinners are to be avoided and condemned.
Yeah.
Jesus says, you have the wrong image of God. I'm the image of God. I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save it.
That's right.
The mission of God is a rescue mission. Not a condemnation mission. It's a rescue mission. We need that image of God. Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Because here's what we do sometimes as Christians. Sometimes as Christians, we're more than happy to believe that we've been rescued by God and then turn around and are more than happy that God's going to condemn the world. There's something wrong about our image of God when we do that. I've mentioned this before, but I really don't have a better example. So I'm sorry if this story is familiar. So after a Bible study, these two men come up to me and they ask me what my thoughts are on homosexuality. Now, they started this all by saying, I don't know if you know this or not, but we're gay. Okay, so I told them, I try not to make assumptions, but there were some clues. See, guys in prison don't normally sit that close together. But they wanted to know what my thoughts are, and so I'm going to tell them. But here's the thing. In that moment, I understood I'm not on a condemnation mission. I am on a rescue mission.
Amen.
I want them to know my Christ. And if I sit there and get up in their face and be all judgmental, are they ever going to know Christ?
No.
Not through me, they're not.
No.
So I said, I believe God wants more for you. One of them said, I have felt this way my whole life. I am not going to argue that point. I cannot argue that point. So I said, okay. But Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to die to yourself. Now here's the thing. That's true for me. And why in the world would I think that my sins are not nearly as bad as their sins? If God came to rescue me, he also came to rescue them.
That's right.
And we've got to be very careful about our language. Because sometimes our language, we as Christians, do not sound like we're on a rescue mission. We sound like we're on a condemnation mission. Matter of fact, there is a guy that comes to my Bible study in prison, and he is a modern-day Christian Pharisee. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have probably met some. He would never say some of the bad words that we consider as bad. But the way he talks about people who are stuck in sin is just as foul. Now here's the thing. I mean, I have wrestled with this. You need to understand, I have wrestled with this because I'm pretty sure that there are people who will not come to the Bible study because he's there, and I don't blame them. But I'm also there on a rescue mission for him.
Amen.
And I don't know the right answer, but I do know this. I'm on a rescue mission. If Jesus is my Lord, I'm on a rescue mission.
Amen.
And here's the thing. Part of what Jesus is saying is that my message does judge.
What's
that? You caught that?
Yes.
In order to say, I'm going to rescue you, you have to make a judgment. And that judgment is that somebody needs rescuing. I mean, there's judgment involved. But we don't distinguish between condemnation and judgment. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are like, you can't judge me. Well, technically you're right, but the Word of God does.
That's right.
There is a judgment call that has to be made. My job is, sometimes I have to convince people they need rescuing before they will accept that they need rescuing, right? Jesus came to rescue. That meant he had to tell the world, you're lost, you need rescuing. So that's why I'm not going to downplay the message when I'm talking to people and they ask me, and I've been asked, well, is this wrong? Is this? I had one guy tell me, well, you know, Walter, the Bible doesn't say sexual sin is wrong. I'm like, all right, buddy, let's go look. I think it has a few things to say about sexual sin. But my goal, I pray, is to rescue. Because that's what my Savior came to do. And here's what he's saying. That he is the image of God. And if he's the image of God, then that's the mission of God, is to rescue. To save. And then yes, if you reject Jesus, the word reject there means to nullify, to make worthless. And by the way, this applies to people who profess Christianity just as much. Because if you believe that you can work your way to heaven, you are rejecting Jesus Christ.
That's right.
It says, whoever rejects me, whoever nullifies me, you have one who judges. And that one is my message. And that'll happen in the last day. And here's what we have to deal with this. The last days, I believe in the Bible, consistently, the last days began when Jesus came. We are in the last days. What is our source of judgment today? It is the message that is Jesus Christ. I do believe he means also in the final judgment, there, what's going to judge us? The message. It's the message. Did we accept the message of God or did we reject it? Verse 49. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. And here's where we kind of... Jesus is God.
Amen.
How that works when Jesus is in the flesh, man, I don't. I'm not sure. How can he say, I don't speak of my own initiative if he's God and it is God's initiative that he say these things, right? I don't know. But part of what he's trying to say is this. This message is not just the message of a man, it's the message of God. And here's another thing that we've got to keep in mind, because when we're out there, we've got to make sure that this is not our message, but it's the message of God.
That's right.
Now there's good news here, because that can sound a little bit overwhelming, right? The good news is that God is full of grace, even for our doctrinal mistakes. Can we come to terms with that? Because if he's not, then we are all in serious trouble. Because I don't think there's anybody sitting here who doesn't have some doctrinal mistakes. I could be wrong, but I think that's true. By the grace of God. So part of my mission is not to get out there and say, I'm the message and I understand the message. My job is to get people in line with Jesus Christ, who is the message. Right? I want them to get to know Jesus. Not to understand the exact truth as I see it. I want them to know Jesus Christ. He is the message. He is God. He is the perfect image of who God is in the flesh. This morning in Bible class, we talked about how truly important that is. They mentioned specifically the Crusades. Because people got the image of God wrong, they went and slaughtered people who disagreed with them. And I see it all the time on Facebook. Because people get the image of God wrong, they slaughter people with their words. I'm not saying that you have to agree. Matter of fact, you don't. Jesus was able to tell the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, when she asked, you know, you guys worship in Jerusalem, we worship in Mount Gerizim, who's right? And he says, okay, the Jews are right. There will come a time when neither one is going to be really important, but the Jews are right. It's okay to say we're right, but we need to do it in a way that honors and respects. Don't we? So much has been done in the name of Christianity that looks nothing like Jesus Christ. And instead of saying, well, that's what other people do, can we just for a moment... There's this thing that happens in the Old Testament that I don't think is such a bad thing. They recount their history and they identify with their history. So you have Nehemiah, you have Ezra, they pray and they say, they make this list of the sins of their fathers, and they don't just say, this is what our forefathers did, they said, this is what we did. However long ago it happened, horrible things have been done in the name of Jesus Christ. Because people have missed the image of Christ. I made the mistake of reading the book, The Kite Runner. It's actually a very good book, but it was too much for me. But one of the things that it helped me to understand is that the people of Afghanistan were not behind what the Taliban did when they took over. Most of the people in Afghanistan were abused and oppressed by the Taliban. So if we think that the image of God is taking a group of people because of their religious beliefs and heaping all kinds of vile things upon them, part of that's going to be because we don't understand what really happened, and part of that's going to be because we don't know the image of God. Do you believe that this is the truth?
Amen.
Then let's get out there and speak the truth. We do not have to tear anybody else down to get out there with the truth.
Sure.
Amen?
Amen.
Let's get out there with the truth. And if there's another group out there that believes things differently than we do, and they call themselves Christians, let's not sit there and say, well, they're not Christians because they don't believe like I do. Let's just get out there with the truth and let's love like Jesus loved.
Amen.
Let's do our best to know the image of God that was wrapped in the flesh in the form of Jesus Christ, who was here on a rescue mission. I have never been tempted to be converted by being told I'm going to hell. But when somebody lovingly says, I believe God wants more for you, I believe this is the truth, I'm a lot more tempted to listen. I want to be more like Jesus. And in all honesty, I fail miserably. But the good news is, I am washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And my job is not to show off me. My job is to show off Jesus. He's the message. And yeah, I know part of it is, look what Jesus is doing in my life. And yes, I know that. But predominantly the thing is, it's what Jesus is doing in my life. I want to be more loving. I want to be more rescue-minded. I want to be less judgmental and condemning. I want to stop getting so angry at those people who cut me off on the road. I mean, I'm going to be a moment of honesty. There are times I want God to strike them right now. They put my life in danger. I want to be on a rescue mission. There are people who are caught in sin. They're caught in the darkness and they think they have to dwell there. Jesus came to show another way, right?
That's right.
He's the light. And Jesus took me out of the darkness, and he keeps taking me out of the darkness, keeps cleaning me up with his blood. Right? That's an ongoing thing. That's not a once my lifetime thing. That's an ongoing thing. Well, for me it is anyway. And if that's true for me, then that's going to be true for others as well. I want to be on a rescue mission because that's what Jesus calls us to be on. That's the image of God stuff. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Amen.
That whoever will believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Praise God.
And Jesus said, this is why my words are so important. They're not even my words, they're words of God, because they are the words of eternity. I want everybody to be there with me. I know there are people who are truly evil in the world. I know. My goal, my prayer is that they'll change, that they'll allow the light to shine in them. I believe with everything that I am, that I'll see my brother Jeffrey Dahmer in heaven. He was baptized. He gave his life to Christ in prison. I can't think of anybody who did more despicable things in our vernacular, right? I mean, but Jesus is on a rescue mission for Jeffrey Dahmer and for me and for you. And he says, go and do likewise. So praise God. Jesus came to save us. Because there is everyone here is in need of the salvation of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So praise God.
Amen.
He came and saved us.
That's right.
So may we also be on a rescue mission and help people to see Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
If you have any needs this morning, I encourage you. We would love to pray with you. If you want to know more about our God that loves you so much that he sent his son to rescue you, he didn't wait for you to get your act all cleaned up.
No.
He came to rescue you. In the midst